This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. In March, we heard about the Capital Campaign, launched by Hospital Hospitality House of Southwest Michigan, to build new cottages near both Bronson and Borges Hospitals in Kalamazoo. Coming up, CEO Judy Marcus Paget tells us where things stand with the Two Houses, One Heart campaign. But first, earlier this year, the Detroit News reported that Michigan was one of the states where Syrian refugees are most likely to settle. A forum on ensuring that those refugees who come to Kalamazoo feel welcome and are able to settle here is being held tomorrow night. We're joined by Joel Bell. He is Assistant Branch Director of Bethany Christian Services in Kalamazoo. And Shadia Kanan will moderate tomorrow night's forum at 6:30 at the Kalamazoo Public Library on welcoming refugees. She is a member of the Kalamazoo Interfaith Coalition for Peace and Justice, which is a sponsor of tomorrow night's forum. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Joel, I'll start with you. If someone is coming to Kalamazoo and they were to turn to Bethany Christian Services, what are some of the things that you would be able to do for them right now?
Well, thank you. Bethany serves as one of the sponsor agencies assisting refugees in resettling here in Michigan, in Grand Rapids, and here in Kalamazoo as well now. And the services we provide really span the scope of things that a family needs to start a new life here in Southwest Michigan. So that means helping them locate housing, helping them locate jobs, helping the children enroll in school, enrolling the family into English language classes, and just helping them learn to adjust to the culture. We work closely with co-sponsors, and so that means a congregation typically in the community joins us as a co-sponsor. And they work alongside us, providing welcome and helping the family gather the items they need to live, becoming their friends, really forming a new community for this family.
And how many families would you say that you could help in, say, the average month? If everyone shows up at your door, how many of those could you help?
Well, the families actually come to us by referral from our federal partners. And so we typically here in Southwest Michigan, this year we'll welcome between Samaritas and Bethany, our colleague agency Samaritas, we will welcome approximately 150 individuals in 2016. We'll repeat that, maybe a little more, in 2017.
So, Shadi, I want to talk to you for a little bit about just the whole process of coming to America. First, tell people about how, where were you born, first of all?
I was born in West Bank city of Nablus, which is Palestine, and which is now under Israeli occupation. We came to this country, I came with my husband. He was getting his specialty as a medical graduate from University of Cairo in neurology. And our hopes were to spend 5 years for his residency training and go back. But then the reason we came here as immigrants is that because the law of supply and demand and the quota system at that time in the United States, with the Vietnam War raging at the time, they needed physicians. So under that premise, we came as immigrants. And what helped is that my brother-in-law, who had passed away in 1985, was a professor at Western Michigan University in the chemistry department, Dr. Adley Kanan. So he arranged for us to come as immigrants instead of waiting for the matching program in the medical field. So that's how we came to this country, and we were very lucky to get that position, and Kalamazoo has been our home since 1971.
1971, yes. So many years.
Many years, yes.
But I would think that there are still some things about making a transition to another country, the United States in particular, which are still kind of universal. Can you tell us maybe about some of the more difficult things about making that transition and moving to the United States?
Yes, well, actually homesickness and feeling missing the family and friends and adjusting to a new culture. Although I have gone to an American school, a friend's Quaker school, since I was a child. So my adjustment was a little easier than what the refugees right now are experiencing, although I can very much identify with their experience. And that's why I'm going to volunteer as much as I can in trying to accommodate and help in every aspect that I can. But the experience itself was pleasant in so many ways. I never felt as a foreigner. In fact, my accent was always a topic of conversation. Where do you come from? And that I lost that welcoming question, where are you from? It has a different tone right now. So since September 11, I feel the alienation of being all of a sudden a foreigner, which I didn't feel before that. And that is also compounded by the Islamophobia and under the current atmosphere, which is very toxic right now, I'm getting to feel uncomfortable for my children and my grandchildren.
But and you say this really kind of started back in 2001, September 11th, 2001, when the terrorist attacks were struck in the United States.
Because Islam right now became associated, paralleled with terrorism. And I have to make one point here. ISIS, which is the Islamic terror group, they used Islam as it's a hijacking of the religion. And to point out that 99.9% of their victims are actually themselves Muslim. We have to remember that fact. And something else I'd like to mention, that in the wake of September 11, a group was formed on the east side of the state and then copied in here, which is called Bridges, which was under the auspices of our state attorney, Margaret Kiera. And we met with law enforcement once a month of all kinds, local, state, and federal, to kind of alleviate that atmosphere of mistrust that happened. And we had accomplished quite a bit with that. And that's where the idea for the forum on Tuesday took place, because I have spoken to somebody from the state of Michigan, and it's a group, it's called Welcoming Michigan, and other groups. And that's very important, because I think the civil society is so vibrant in Michigan and in the United States. And the spirit of volunteerism, the ethics behind it, which prevails actually, which has built this country. And it stems from the churches, from the school, from the ethics. And that's Welcoming Michigan. And before that, the city commission also passed a resolution welcoming refugees and immigrants of all kind. And that's what we need to build upon to give these refugees the comfort zone that they need at this point. It's not just the housing and the transportation and the schooling. It's for them to feel secure and to feel welcome and to feel that they have a future in this country. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish together.
If someone is listening to this and they're thinking, wow, that does sound like a lot for a family to go through, I'd like to help them out. What are some things that you might suggest that someone can do if that applies to them?
That would be great. I mean, those sorts of people that are interested, I love to talk to them. And there's a variety of ways to be involved. We are always looking for new co-sponsor congregations. And I should maybe clarify, that doesn't necessarily have to be the whole congregation, but a strong group of maybe 8-10 people within that body that will partner with us to become friends and community for a refugee family. But they can simply reach out to me. I'd be happy to get them started on the process of doing that. Other ways people can be involved, we need landlords. We need people who will partner with us to provide housing to refugee families. And we need employers. We need people who will help to employ refugees. And I would just add that these are folks who are legally employable and, from my observation, have been extremely hardworking and motivated individuals. And so we're looking for employers who will work with them. And we're looking for other sorts of volunteers, too, people who will become trained to do some English tutoring with the families, people who will help kind of navigate these other bureaucracies. And I maybe should also just quickly add here, too, we're always looking for foster parents for refugee children as well. We're talking a bit right at the moment about the family program, which is a great program. We also provide services to unaccompanied refugee minors. And those children end up typically in refugee foster homes. And so we have a constant need to recruit and train new refugee foster parents.
You mentioned unaccompanied, so that leaves open the possibility that their parents are still alive. They're not necessarily orphaned. Do you make some sort of attempt to, or is there some group that is making some sort of attempt to at least get families in touch with each other if they have ended up being separated?
Absolutely. So it's obviously different case by case, but our social workers assist the children in making contact with family members. Many of the children are able to have some sort of phone contact, but in some cases, sadly, they are orphans. They have no living parents any longer. So it just is different case by case, but we certainly facilitate that where we can.
Shadi, you want to get in there?
Yes, I would like to give tribute to the city of Kalamazoo. I have talked about the Board of Commissions passing a resolution welcoming, declaring Michigan a welcoming county and joining with the Michigan Welcoming Michigan movement, which is part of the Welcoming America or United States, but also Kalamazoo City Council with the collaboration and the partnership with Welcoming Michigan and the Kalamazoo Islamic Center and the Kalamazoo Muslim community, which I'm a part of. In March of 2016, we passed a city resolution declaring Kalamazoo a city of peace and declaring it fighting against Islamophobia and welcoming people of all religions and all ethnicity. I am very proud to be a Kalamazoo resident right now. And right now, there is an effort among a few of us religious and community members to start working in Portage as a city of sanctuary. And that is going to be coming, and I hope we hear more about that.
Something that you plan to take to the Portage City Council?
Yes, yes.
Joel, what are some things that you would like to be able to do for refugees that want to settle here that you can't do right now?
One of the things that we're beginning to work on already with some partners in Kalamazoo is to address the housing need for refugees. And we're looking for ways, some creative ideas are developing right now to come up with both kind of short-term housing and then longer-term housing that specifically meets the needs of refugee families. A couple of the just benefits to that, when you can have some of the refugee families living in proximity to each other, it allows them to support each other and to become a community of sorts to each other. It also provides an ease of access to some services where you can have a social worker and other services come to one site and be available to a whole range of families. And then on the kind of on that transitional interim type housing need, some of the refugee families have had many children. And so finding suitable housing for them has taken a little bit of time. And so we're looking for options that would help us accommodate them upon their arrival and provide them with just good and appropriate housing for, you know, a short term while we find something longer term as well. So I think that there's some great English services in town we've been able to access, but we continue to just see a need to find more flexible ways to provide English language services based on some of the schedules the refugee adults have had. I know the schools, I would just commend them for their hard work with the refugee children. And our interaction with the schools has been fantastic. But at the same time, I know the schools need additional support. The influx of refugee children, I think, has been really seen as a privilege and as a great opportunity by the schools, but also presents some additional work and challenge for them at the same time. So I think kind of in that educational sphere, in the housing sphere, and then I think I mentioned earlier, but just in employment, we continue to have a need to develop both programming, but also job opportunities specific to, I would say refugees, but really could expand it and just say to English language learners, the sorts of jobs that someone can do while they're learning English.
But you mentioned there the idea that this is an opportunity. I don't know that it's always seen that way, but maybe talk about that a little bit. What is the opportunity for perhaps a school system? What's the opportunity for someone running a business to employ or to educate people who are immigrants or refugees?
Sure. It's truly enriching to the school systems and to our community to have refugees and other immigrants in our community. And so within the school system, that provides just an increased exposure for our children who are already here to cultures of the world. They get to hear firsthand children who natively speak Swahili or natively speak Arabic, and they get to interact with them and become friends with them. I've been able to witness that firsthand as I step over at refugee families' homes who are from the Congo and see neighbor kids or school friends there at their house, becoming friends with them and spending time at their home in the afternoon. And so they're befriending. Their knowledge of and exposure to the world is deepened and broadened altogether through these interactions. I think for employers, it's much the same. We're bringing people here who are eager to work, who want to work, and who are hardworking people. I just talked to an employer earlier this week about one of our folks that we have been working with for some time. And his comment was similar to what I just said. Basically, he wishes that he had more people just like this who had such a strong work ethic. So I think for our community, our schools, our jobs, I think even in our church settings and in our religious spheres, this is provides just a depth and a richness. Many of the families that we're talking about have begun going to area churches or to the Kalamazoo Islamic Center, and so it just provides more community contacts for them, more of a social connection for them, but also in return to those church bodies, to those religious bodies, it provides just new people and new experiences and new perspectives into their congregations as well.
Yeah, good. Chadia, go ahead.
To add on to Joe's point, I think hate stems from fear, and fear stems from not knowing the other, from being ignorant of the other and his experience. So if these children or these families meet together in a humanitarian basis as neighbors, as friends, as schoolmates, that dissipates the fear of the other and promotes a more understanding. And this way we can combat this discrimination and this fear among the refugees come with a wealth of cultures. They come from countries that have existed for thousands of years. I'm speaking about African or Asian, specifically the Middle East. I mean, Syria is known to be one of the most developed civilizations in history. And I'm sure these refugees will bring a wealth of cultural information and to share with this community.
Shadia and Joel, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Joel Bell is Assistant Branch Director of Bethany Christian Services in Kalamazoo. Shadia Kanaan will moderate tomorrow night's forum at the Kalamazoo Public Library. The Welcoming Refugees panel discussion begins at 6:30 in the Van Dusen Room. It is sponsored by the Kalamazoo Interfaith Coalition of Peace and Justice. You can also find links with more details at WMUK.org.